Adelaide today have appointed one of the AFL's most experienced administrators as its new CEO. Tim Silvers joins the Crows from Hawthorn, where he's held a number of key roles over the past 17 years, having most recently served as Chief Operating Officer, and he's had a chat in Adelaide a short time ago.
Together with the board, management, staff, coaches and players, I'm determined to make this club the best it can possibly be. To the thousands of Crows members and fans, I've watched from afar with the admiration of your passion and loyalty you show at all times. I want to strengthen the connection you have with the club, and this is a genuine priority. Likewise, I want to engage meaningfully with the many committed corporate partners who have and will contribute to our success. It will be remiss of me not to thank Hawthorn for their support and endorsement throughout this process. To their president, Jeff Kennett, the board, CEO Justin Reeves, and the executive, thank you. The Hawks have helped shape me as a person and as a leader. And I wish them all the best for season 2021, except when you play Adelaide, of course. The Crows are such a significant part of the South Australian community, and along with my family, we can't wait to officially call Adelaide home. I look forward to leading this club, along with John and the board, our football leaders Matthew Nicks, Matthew Clark and Adam Kelly, along with the executive team. The Adelaide Football Club is going to be a place where everyone is motivated to pursue excellence, both on and off the field.
Well, that is the voice of Tim Silvers, the new Crows CEO. He's certainly known across the industry as being fairly commercially astute, also possessing a pretty deep understanding of the industry and strong, widespread football relationships. Michelangelo Rucci, as I said, co-host of Kimbo on the Rooch, 3 p.m. SA time on SEN SA today, right across everything in footy in Adelaide. Rooch, nice to have you on the show.
Ah, good afternoon, and it is indeed a big day for the Adelaide Football Club. They have been searching for more than a month now to find a chief executive to replace Andrew Fagan. There have been heaps and heaps of checks, interviews, advice, and now they have their man. Now, it'll be interesting how it all plays out in the sense that there were those who felt that Adelaide needed a very strong football-related person to rebuild a football club from the football field. Or did they need someone to actually be very commercially savvy like Tim Silvers has? But the fact that he comes out of Hawthorn, which is a strong, culturally driven football club, and that he has a commitment to actually building relationships within a football club and also on the outside of the football club has to be a good sound for the Adelaide Football Club.
It seems like, just reading through his resume, Rooch, and what he's done, and I think that's probably the most important point there. I mean, clubs, whether they're appointing a CEO, a coach or any other key sort of football figure, they tend to go to the clubs that have had success and pluck out people that are often that sort of rung or two down, don't they, from the CEO, who are so integral to the day-to-day running of an organisation.
And the key to this one will be, it won't be Tim Silvers alone who takes Adelaide from a position that doesn't enjoy at the moment at the bottom of the ladder and some big questions about just what it has been doing for the past 3 years. He's got to build a team around him, and the fact that he's already talking about building relationships and building connections means that he has a great understanding of exactly what Adelaide is. It's, you can virtually say they're at rock bottom again for what has happened over the past 3 years. It's a great point to come in as a chief executive and build from the ground up, but he's not going to do it on his own. And John Olsen has carried a fair burden for the last 3 months as the new chairman. He now has a chief executive to enact that policy, but they're going to have to build a lot of other parts to their footy club all over again at a time when we've had the hit from COVID and also some issues that Adelaide did by its own doing. So he's got a big job in front of him.
When will he officially start, Rooch, and the transition from Andrew Fagan obviously relinquishing his role to Tim Silvers?
Well, Andrew Fagan cleared out of the building on Wednesday to take his leave, so I think Tim Silvers is going to have some pretty clear space. I'm not 100% sure what his time out is with Hawthorn, but I would think that he, my understanding, will certainly be in place by the time Adelaide plays its first game against Geelong in, was it March 20-ish?
Yep.
So he's going to hit the ground pretty soon. So, and he's got a big job in front of him. So it won't be any time wasted, but Adelaide's not going to turn around things overnight. We know they've got a big job on the footy field. They've got some enormous tasks off the football field as well, particularly when that last ranking last year did really strain some relationships all over the place. And the fact that John Olsen called in, you know, an accountancy firm in KPMG to do a review of where the club's board and its management was, and it's left quite an agenda to be sorted with, is going to be a handy document for Tim Silvers to pick up. He's not going to be blind as to what is needed at Adelaide, but I stress again, he won't be able to do that job solely on his own. He's going to have to build a very good team around him.
That is true. I mean, how do you, now that Andrew Fagan has cleared his desk last week, I mean, how do you reflect back on his tenure as the Crows CEO?
Well, the best quote is actually from one of the long-time servants of the football club who looked back at it and said that Andrew Fagan was commercially strong. He made Adelaide commercially stronger. They were debt-free by the pre-COVID moment, which was an enormous achievement. But culturally, they became weaker. And we know about Andrew McLeod being very outspoken about just what the football club had lost in terms of its culture. And we can talk about what had happened on the field and off the field, and they were culturally weaker. So while he brought a strong agenda on commercially building the Adelaide Football Club, and they took on baseball, esports, lifestyle TV, they didn't build a football club that was culturally strong. So that's going to be the hit on him, that he did deliver on the financial sheets, but as to what a footy club should actually be, and that Phil Walsh demand that Adelaide become an authentic football club certainly wasn't fulfilled under Andrew Fagan's watch.
That's interesting, Rich. I mean, if you think back over many eras of football and the role of a CEO and the role of the CEO to run the business, and some have that more footy hat on and like to get involved in the football side of things, and others, I'm here to obviously make sure the club financially is on a great footing and marketed the right way and we're serving the members. So what do you think the ideal CEO should look like at AFL level?
Funny that, because was it on Tuesday night, I actually had that debate with Kim and threw it to him. Because he's a passionate Crows man. Do you want a football head, such as Craig Lozzo is at West Coast, who was pretty strong in the field, but my understanding is he didn't want to step up to that role for the way Adelaide is at the moment. Do you want a football head such as Craig Lozzo to just put a strong concentration on football, or do you want a commercially savvy person like Tim Silvers? Now, they've gone down that path, and the fact that he's been with Hawthorn has seen a football club on the inside, which is something that Andrew Fagan didn't have. He was the outsider who'd come through rugby, which was always going to be a difficult challenge for him. The fact that Silvers has actually been in a really traditional VFL-AFL football club gives him an understanding of what cultural demands he will have to honour at Adelaide as well, and at the same time, be commercially smart, which is going to be critical when you're trying to get out of COVID as well.
So, new CEO, a new chairman in John Olsen, as you've said, has had to really hit the ground running when he was appointed prior to Christmas, obviously doing a full evaluation and review of the club. But how have you looked at sort of John's short tenure and how those two will complement each other? And who are we going to see more of, do you think, sort of fronting the club from a media perspective?
Well, John's a strong image in Adelaide as a former Premier, a former federal Member of Parliament. He's got a long tradition as a Sandful, president for 10 years. But I think he would want to be very much the face of what the Adelaide Football Club is, but the voice needs to be a lot of other people. There needs to be a football club with many, many voices. So I think that's the strength of it, is building that football club culture so it isn't seen to be just one man or one vision or one policy, but a united front with many, many people, at the wheel, just making this football club great again.
We had a caller a little earlier, John, from your neck of the woods, Rich, over there in Adelaide, who said it was a great decision for the Crows not to be going down the path of setting up a new headquarters in those magnificent parklands around the Adelaide Oval, which is a beautiful spot, and the whole redevelopment Memorial Drive and the Adelaide Oval. But they've had their new headquarters, their plans torpedoed by the Adelaide City Council. What have you made of that call?
Well, we now understand why the Adelaide City Council was kept out of all that discussion with Adelaide Oval. That was a very strong issue with the AFL and the state government, that it would only go ahead if the Adelaide City Council was taken out of the equation. Now, it's been a bit disappointing, because when you've got a team that carries the name of Adelaide and is part of the City of Adelaide and has the keys to the City of Adelaide, as given to them by the City Council in 97-98 when they won those premierships, shouldn't be at a point whereby they've got a council that's so determined to not deal with it. Now, there was still an interesting proposal to have Adelaide have two training grounds on the parklands but have all their infrastructure on the other side of the road on non-parklands facilities. It's a bit sad that that one's been torpedoed, so they'll now go to Theberton Oval, which is an old Sandful ground. They'll share it with the Sandful and the Adelaide Footy League. It will be a footy hub. But it is disappointing that a council that has actually lived off the image of the Adelaide Football Club in the glory days would be so anti-Crows at the moment. It's pretty sad. Look, I understand the need to protect the parklands, but there could have been a very, very good compromise in this one which would have solved everyone's needs, but that's not to be.
Richie, I mean, you sit in the radio chair over there daily. You get the vibe of, you know, footy fans. Adelaide, as you've said, I mean, they're in territory they haven't really been across their tenure in the AFL over the last 25 years or so at this sort of rock-bottom phase. What is the feeling of Adelaide fans who have generally had a pretty good ride? Are they sort of patient at the moment, thinking, OK, well, it's our turn, we've got to rebuild, or is it, no, we want to get back up immediately?
We didn't get to see the face of that because of what COVID did in, you know, not allowing total access to Adelaide Oval last year. And the number of people who take these seats is always an indication of their feeling. But tonight they have their Crows members information meeting. I think I'll wait to sense what they actually say rather than guess what their feeling is. But they would have to be realistic, just understanding where that list is at, that it's going to be a major rebuild. Now, they might ask, why did Adelaide ever get into this position? Because they should be like Geelong, should never bottom out beyond 12th position and should never be out of the frame for more than a year. This is going to take, well, the outside view is it will take 5 years. That just shouldn't have happened at Adelaide. So I'm going to be intrigued as to what attitude they bring with their questions and their vibe at tonight's meeting. And we'll let that play out rather than me guessing it.
Across town, let's touch on Port Adelaide before I let you go, because once again, Ken Hinckley's setting the bar high as he did last year. Let's go out and win this thing. We've got the squad. We were so close. A little taste of finals football for quite a few on their list last year. And I love Charlie Dixon's chat with Jared earlier today. And there's, you know, a great feeling around the club. We're hearing young Connor Rosie is going to be managed through the season due to that foot issue, but gee, he and young Butters and others are just training, obviously, you know, very well and great talents. Port Adelaide, how far do we set the barometer?
They're there. They're among those four notable pace setters who all became better in the off season by what they did by adding to their list. So we've got Richmond has to be respected without question. We're not mocking Richmond anymore. Three premierships in 4 years tells you they're a pace setter. Geelong is a better squad than it was last year. Brisbane has to be a better squad for having Danaher and the depth that they have with their young players and the experience they've developed. And Port Adelaide's in that frame. They're the four. But we know it's a tough competition to win. That Port Adelaide should be considered, again, a premiership contender. Where they are in October, whether they're having champagne and celebrating or whether they're second, third or fourth, we'll wait and see. But they're in the frame. It's their grand opportunity now.
No doubt. The window is very much open. Rich, always great to chat to you. We wait to see what happens at Adelaide over all this year. Certainly on field and off field as they try and reshape the club for the next year. It's going to be fascinating watching from the outside. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Michelangelo Rucci, of course, the number one man over there in Adelaide with the Advertiser and co-host of Kimbo on the Rooch, SENSA. You can get that on the app as well right around the country from 3 o'clock today. It is Western Bulldogs Membership Day on SEN. 6 games for the price of 3. westernbulldogs.com.au/SEN. Happy to take your calls next. Anything you want to put on the agenda? If you've got a thought on the Crows, 1300 736 736 or on the Temper text 0433 98 1116.